Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. I'm Chad Rothschild filling in for Amy Otto, who's in Italy. She wouldn't let me switch places, so I'm stuck here with my co-host here, Lee Cantor. Lee, how you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing great. A little rainy today, but I think we'll make it through.
It reminds me back of the flood days here that we had a week or two back. So
That was bad.
That was horrible. So actually, we're really excited about our three guests today. This will make the rain feel not so bad here. So we've got Reginald Sinavant with Stealth Marketing Solutions. He's a SEO. He's an SEO.
He might be a CEO. Often.
He could. He's probably that too. And then we got Greg Corey with Emaxation, and he's going to talk about his new social media product. And we've got Lee Dornberg also. So we're really excited about this, Lee. This is prime time.
It's a good show.
But let's go ahead and start off with Reginald here. He's with Stealth Marketing Solutions, and he's got a helps people with their SEO, and I can't wait to hear more about this. I'm a big blogger myself, always trying to figure out ways to increase the awareness out in the marketplace. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Reginald.
Good morning. My name is Reginald Sinavant. I am with Stealth Marketing Solutions. I do SEO. SEO is search engine optimization. It basically deals with optimizing your website so we can be seen on the internet. There's the online portion of SEO, and there's the offline portion of SEO. So,
and do you do both?
Yes, and that creates the synergy to get your website out there so we can be seen by the people that are looking for your products or your services.
So if you're looking at the 50,000-foot view, we've got this website here. Kind of tell us a little bit background, what a website should look like, what it should feel like.
Well, basically, what is your website? The question should be asked, like, what is your website there for? Is it to educate people? Is it to provide information? Is it a lead generation website? And with that mindset, do you have the components in there that'll bring traffic?
What are some of the components that a person should have on their website?
Well, you should definitely have a title in your meta tags. You should have the description, and you should have the keywords that you're trying to rank for, which is very, very important.
But how do you even know what your keywords are?
Well, that goes to the keyword research of your product or of your service that you're trying to provide. Let's say you have a local real estate website. What would people type into Google or Yahoo or Bing to bring up what product or service that you're offering?
So like real estate, would it be like, if I'm here in Atlanta, would it be just Atlanta, Georgia, home buyer? Like what are some of the, are there, you know, more creative terms? Like how do you know how people search?
Well, that's what you do with the keyword research when you go into Google and trying to locate the terms that people use to find your product. Trying to rank for real estate is probably not going to happen because there are other websites that are that have been on the net a lot longer that have more links coming into them.
So you probably won't. Links coming in, that's an important component of ranking high?
Definitely. Having incoming links that are optimized for the keyword that you want to optimize for will definitely bring more traffic to your website.
Now, you've got so many different pages of Google and things like that, and you've got the long tails and all this. These are all terms that I've heard. How important is it to be on the first page of Google or whatever search you're trying to be a part of?
Like I say, the statistics is if you're like number one or number two, you're basically gathering about the 73% of the traffic for that specific keyword. Anything number three to number 10 on that first page, you're basically fighting for the rest of that 27%.
So if you're traffic. What about if you're on page 2 or page 5 or page 20? Like, forget about it?
Let me ask you that question. Do you ever go past page 1 to search for a term? Most people don't. So if you're not on the first page, then you're most likely not going to get any traffic.
No, you're exactly right. I think if I was going to do it, I'd just start retyping in keywords. I'd be like, oop, I missed that one. So let's start over. So when you start working on the keywords, obviously because people are going to type them in differently, some people might type in, you know, 10 words, and does it matter which order that people type them in, or how does that exactly work?
Well, you got the three different types of keywords. You got the broad match, which is any combination of the keywords. You got the phrase match, where It's in that specific order, and then you got the exact match, which is specifically how you write it with nothing else in it. So you want to basically optimize for the exact match and phrase match, specifically if you're doing pay-per-click as part of search engine marketing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. In Google or in a lot of the search engines, there's a little sponsored link on the side. And, you know, you can pay money and you can be in that. Is that valuable for you? Does that help your SEO by participating in those campaigns?
Well, the SEO portion is mostly the free traffic. Anything that's on the right side of Google or on Yahoo is basically paid search.
Right, but does Google give you, like, extra credit because you're working with them, so then they bump you up a little bit?
They'll collect the money from you and then give you a little bit of that extra credit. But you're going to have to pay for the paid search that's on the right-hand side.
And that's pay by click, or how do they charge you for something like that?
It is pay by click. It's called pay-per-click, PPC, for the specific keywords that you're searching. Again, it goes back to doing the keyword research to see how many people are searching for it and how much Google basically says it will charge on a pay-per-click basis. And then there's some other things that factor in there, like your click-through ratio that basically reduces the amount that you pay on a pay-per-click basis. But again, with the SEO portion, it's more on the free side, and then everything on the right side is on a pay-per-click basis.
Now, do people look more at the organic search, or is it the pay-by-click thing? Is that just as good, or how does that work?
I think a lot more people are now looking for the organic stuff because everything on the right-hand side seems to be a little bit hypey. So if you look at it, if it sounds too good to be true, then most likely people won't click on it, or they'll click on it and not get the information that they need. So they'd rather go to the organic search.
It's more reliable?
I would say so, because the organic part is more content-driven than having to pay for the actual listing.
Well, as a big blogger, I mean, you can have the greatest content in the world, but if people can't find you, you know, you're invisible. What are some strategies that you give people to make sure that their content is seen and visible?
Well, the big part is social bookmarking, making sure that the post that you put on the blog is bookmarking all the social bookmarks like Dig.
So how do you do that? Every post you submit it to Dig and you submit it to these social bookmarks?
Right. There are about 30 or 40 social bookmarking sites that Google love to rank a lot quicker than others. So submitting that information to those social bookmarks will basically get your page indexed a lot faster.
Really? Even if, so say you submit it to Dig and nobody digs it, do you still get credit for that?
You still get credit because it's an incoming link back to your website, and that's what you want to have. You want to have as much links as possible coming from authority sites.
So it should be, for a blogger, you're recommending that they go and submit it to, what are some of the big ones? Dig, what, Delicious?
You have Dig, Delicious, Weebly, Squidoo, HubPages, and a bunch of others.
Let's say those four, right? You make a post, then you should immediately go to those four sites and then submit it into each one of those?
You could submit your RSS feed into those, and then that'll basically pull all the information from
automatically.
Automatically,
and then that would improve your search engine ranking.
It will, providing that you have the right tag, which is basically another word for the right keyword for that post.
Good information.
Man, that's fantastic.
Did you write that down, Chad?
I did write those down. Thank you. Because that's one of the big things that I've always heard, Reginald, is that, you know, the old websites, you know, 10 years ago were just brochures, and now it's all about having engaging content so you can get those Google searches. Are you seeing that people are really taking their websites to more interactive so that it has more engaging content that changes, or what do you recommend?
I definitely recommend doing a lot of posts, especially if you have blogs, and then taking those blog posts, turning them to articles, and submitting them to article sites like EasyIn Articles or GoToArticles.com, because those sites, you have a lot of readership, and if you have content that people are searching for, they'll definitely take it and then take your information, basically syndicate it out onto the web, and that basically brings more traffic and more links back to your website as well.
Is there a strategy to get more inbound links?
Social bookmarking content.
So, but no, like say, but from other bloggers, like for example, Chad's a big blogger. what would be a strategy for him to connect with other big, maybe bigger name bloggers so that they would have some sort of a collaborative relationship?
Definitely having other bloggers write on your website.
Like a guest
blog. Like a guest blog, yes. Having many of those, because you see the name and then people are familiar with those folks, and then they'll be able to bring that type of traffic to your website as well.
Well, Reginald, we just got a minute left. Why don't you tell me, you know, what's the most important thing?
If you were going to do one thing, what would it be?
One thing would be to write articles. And if your website does not have a blog, make sure you have a blog. Posting those articles and then pointing them back to your website. You want the blog to be sticky. Basically, you want them to stay on as much as possible. And create content. Content is king right now.
So absolutely. How often should you have fresh content?
I would say about twice a week. It doesn't necessarily have to be on a daily basis, but you want to have content on a regular basis.
And then how can people learn more about you so that maybe if they want to get your help in working on their SEO?
Well, my website is Stealth Marketing Solutions. That's STEALTH, marketing, and solutions with an S. And you could reach me via the contact tab, first come, first serve, leave your information, and I'll follow up with you.
Good. And now, is there, when somebody works with you, is there a free consultation, or are they on the clock right as soon as
No,
that
call? I do a 30-minute free consultation, give them as much information as possible to get them going.
Cool.
Well, SEO is definitely a hot topic right now, and I'm sure you can help a ton of the listeners out there with that. Well, let's move on to our second guest, Greg Corey. I'm really excited to speak with him. I obviously do a lot of social media workshops, and he's going to provide some solutions here with a CRM product that can tie in social media elements. So I'm really excited to hear about this. Greg, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, fantastic. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Emaxation?
Certainly. Emaxation is a specialized lead management system. We work with a lot of big corporations like Yum Brands, Popeyes, Huddle House, Fantastic Sam's, ChemDry, those types of businesses. And within the franchise portion of the business, it's lead contact management for them. It's email marketing, marketing automation. And it really serves both their sales departments and their marketing departments. The sales guys need a tool that helps them move leads through their sales pipeline. The marketing departments need better control over the messaging, the ways to analyze where leads are coming from, so which advertising campaigns are working well.
Those are mostly franchises. Is that the niche you're in?
Primarily, we've been focused in franchising. We have about 300 major brands in franchising. Yeah. Correct.
Oh, wow. And so now you've added a new tool to it. How is your buzz social media part? Tell us a little bit about that, because that sounds really interesting.
Certainly. Well, a lot of the traditional marketing our clients have been doing is lead generation on advertising portals, their own SEO work, their own pay-per-click advertising, things like that, to drive traffic to their corporate sites. Obviously, with the social media and social marketing that's going on, a lot of our clients are working in that direction and launching their own initiatives. But what they're missing is the ability to track those activities and see those leads move into their sales pipeline. And that's really what it's about. It's about the conversion. It's about the return on investment. So when you get those questions about, well, why do we need social media? It's because they haven't been able to see what's the bottom. How does it work down to a converted customer? How does it work down to, okay, this person's a franchisee now?
So was it just something that you decided to integrate, or did people come to you and go asking about how to implement this social media part to it? Or?
Well, a lot of it's listening to our customers. It's watching the industry. You know, if you look back in the late 90s, it was email marketing was really the next communication tool. And really social media is the next communication tool for us. That's where we're at. You know, so it's moving from, you know, the Madison Avenue marketing, the traditional media, to now it's social media. It's a grassroots marketing, a lot more personal interaction.
Now, when you're saying social media, how are you defining it?
Well, there's two layers that, as we see it, there's that buzz building that's going on in the bookmarking sites and the blogging and that sort of area. But then there's the networking area where it's Facebook, it's LinkedIn, it's Twitter, where there's actually some engagement. That person took the step to become a fan or become a friend.
And wants to interact individually, right?
Exactly. So once that's a big step for them. They've engaged with your brand now. They want that personal relationship with your brand.
And then how does like a franchise owner manage that? Like if they have, you know, 50 people that are saying, hey, you know, I have a question, how do they deal with each one of those individually?
Well, and there's two parts. There's the consumer side. So if it's somebody interested in Fantastic Sam's as a franchise, right, they're going to be talking to the franchise development team, and they want information about how to get financing, what's the training program look like. So that's one path.
Sure.
The consumer path is really a different, you know, I want a coupon for a haircut.
Right. So, but you help in both?
We do, yes. Yeah.
Now, isn't that most people are kind of hesitant to get involved in that aspect, especially in the consumer level? How do you kind of get the franchise owner to engage? Does this tool just help them do this in a turnkey manner?
Well, it's about having a call to action for that prospect, that potential customer, to engage. You know, it's about customer acquisition, and it's about continuity. It's getting that person that is a customer already to come back again.
Right.
And so if it's on the consumer side, it's coupons, it's redemption type items. On the franchise side, it's getting them comfortable with how strong your brand is and what you have to offer, and then getting them through that pipeline. It's our experience has always been you've got to help drive these people through your sales pipeline. You can't let them just kind of linger and try to find their way. We try to give them a path from A to B.
But one of the things, like especially on Twitter, you'll get a lot of, you know, I went to Fantastic Sam's and they close at 5 and it's 5 till 5 and it's closed, and they're complaining.
Right.
So how do you deal with that person?
Well, and that's feedback you need to hear. It may not always be pleasant, but that's the grassroots marketing effort.
Right.
Where you're having a lot more personal interaction, and you can address that customer and say, you know what, you know, we can here's some alternative ways to, you know, we're open later on the weekends. Or
so you have somebody that you put a body on that, so that's monitoring that, so they can reply to those kind of
things?
Well,
there's two parts. Our solution is really there's two parts to our product in the How Is Your Buzz module. One is a dashboard that gives you visibility into your network and how it's changing. As people are adding you as a fan or becoming a fan of yours, or adding you as a friend or following you on Twitter, how is that correlating to what advertising you're doing that's driving people to your network? So that first part is that visibility, that dashboard. The second part is a response engine. So as people are coming into your network, you can start to market to them in a one-to-one basis and sending them promotions, sending them calls to action to do things. I think what you're talking about is that, you know, the discussions that are going on, that's still having somebody is, you know, internal that is monitoring that and responding to those people.
Right.
Well, one of the big questions I get always doing these social media workshops is, you know, how do I show a return on investment? Now, does yours help do some of those things, help with return on investment, show what they're getting?
It does, because it really, it's trying to get them into your sales pipeline. And that's where, you know, a traditional sales manager, they measure everything by the sales pipeline, you know, and it starts wide at the top and you got 1,000 people there, and it whittles down to, okay, who became a customer, who became a franchisee, whatever it may be, what's that conversion? And so by us monitoring who's in your network and then marketing to them, we can help pull them through that pipeline, and it shows that bottom line conversion.
So your metric you're using is like number of friends or followers?
That's where it starts. And we actually, you know, you can get a lot of information through the APIs, the interfaces to Facebook and Twitter and these types of things. There's a lot of information available that you can extract from those systems and then use to market to them.
Now, is that when you're pitching this to like a new franchise, when you're, you know, getting a new franchise on board, what are the hesitations in their mind? Like, they know this is important. Obviously, they've heard of LinkedIn, they've heard of Facebook, but it's kind of a culture change for a lot of people to get involved like this. How do you kind of overcome that objection?
And it's so fuzzy for everybody. One of the examples I use, I went to an e-commerce convention over the summer, and one of the keynote speakers was talking about free e-commerce companies. They're really data companies first. It doesn't really matter what they're selling. If they don't know how to analyze everything that's going on with their e-commerce store, they're not going to be very good at it. Well, for all of our businesses, we have to be in the communications business. We have to be able to communicate with prospects, customers, other vendors in your space, that sort of thing. So that's really where we tell our customers, you have to be in the communications business. And social media is the next phase of this. So it's a requirement. You really need to be there.
Are they hesitant with the amount of content that they have to provide? Or does this tool kind of make it easy for them to provide content? Because part of social media is being social. You know, you have to communicate in some manner.
Well, there's certainly, it's looking at content differently. It's taking it down to bite-sized pieces. Our tool allows them to distribute that content out through these platforms, so they're not having to live in the platforms as much, so we can send those one-to-one communications, initiate them from our product into Facebook, out to Twitter.
And so it'll
LinkedIn.
Go automatically, and it'll distribute that one content piece into a multiple distribution channel?
Correct, and we can include trackable links, and that's where we close the loop. So when people click through on those trackable links and come back into a landing page to download a coupon, things like that, we're tracking the whole process.
But how do you get past the selly part of this. And in social media, you know, it's about sharing information first rather than selling. But the selling part is where the ROI comes in. So it's, you know, kind of you got to walk that fine line. How do you coach them in that area?
Well, and that's bridging the gap between that buzz layer and all the talk and getting them to engage. Once you've gotten to them engaged in your network, they've already taken that step of this person wants to know more, they're interested in that sort of thing. And so then it's about interacting with them. And that's where we've had a lot of experience in response marketing. So we can help them tailor the message, things like that.
Now, I don't think I heard. Now, because you do a CRM system, and this is just another one. Do they have to use your CRM system to be able to use the Buzz, or how does that exactly work?
No, the How is Your Buzz product is really the dashboard part, so they can actually see what's going on with their network. That's just one piece of it. The response engine part, that's our system. That's the Emacs Automation platform that's providing that response engine piece. So if they want that campaign management response engine piece, it is part of the Emacs Automation platform. So.
Well, fantastic. So it sounds like franchises is your main core. Do you have other people that you help in this area?
Well, we've worked outside the industry some, and we actually see with the social media product, it's the way we're going to start branching outside of the franchise industry. We've got some other products coming early next year that will continue that. So, you know, as a business, we're always looking at ways to grow, and we've done very well in the franchise space. So a lot of our expertise there in working with businesses applies in other spaces. So this is really one of our efforts to grow outside the industry as well.
Well, how can people reach out to you and learn more about you and your products? And
well, certainly for the How is the Buzz product, we're launching on October 27th. We're going to have a big webinar and some other things going on with that. So you can go to howisyourbuzz.com and sign up there for information. For Emacs Automation, you can go to the emacsimation.com website and learn more about our products and contact us through the website.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And our final guest is Lee Dornberg, and he is a Liquid Capital financing person. And, man, there's so many people looking for money right now. You're the answer, right?
Especially after Reginald and Greg have just, you know, made a fortune for your company or grown your sales. Now what do you do? And so there's lots of options open that people are not always familiar with.
Well, with the banks, you know, crunching down on how much money they're lending out and stuff, how are you helping small businesses get the financing they need?
So in the best of times, banks can't really help you if you have less than 2 to 3 years experience that's not profitable. And so what we do is through accounts receivable. If you have invoices that are out there that if you're waiting 30, 60, or even 90 days to get paid, our company pays immediately, and then we'll come behind it and do the collections for the company.
Well, obviously that's going to help with their working capital. I mean, can you tell us how that's going to solve a lot of financial problems for a lot of these small businesses?
Exactly. A lot of these companies have problems getting credit. And to obtain credit, they have to be able to pay their bills quickly. Well, if you don't have money and you're waiting 30, 60, or 90 days to get paid, you're not going to be able to build up your company's credit. Well, if you do accounts receivable financing, you're guaranteed that your cash flow will be steady. It's going to even right out. You're going to know after you've completed a project or delivered a service, you can count on the cash coming right in.
Absolutely. So that can help support some of their credit cards and other things that they're using.
It'll pay their bills and help their credit, and they'll be able to now if they have a guaranteed cash flow or working capital line, they know that they can go out and hire somebody. They know they can go buy some more equipment. They can perhaps get more inventory, whatever they need to do to grow the company.
Is this a new thing, or has this been around for a while?
Actually, it's a process called factoring, and factoring's been around since the Roman Empire. It was real big at the times of the colonial days, and if you go out to Savannah, there's Factors Row. So it's always been out there. What I do is I bring it to the small business side. It's being done. There might be over $1 trillion being done right now in factoring. What I do is I bring it to the small businesses and companies that have relatively small invoices, might be $5,000, $10,000.
Oh, so it works in that small increment of money? It's not like, would you use this to have $1 million?
We can do that as well. I mean, the beauty of our company is we can go after invoices that are $50. If there's enough of them, it makes it worth our while. Or we can go up to the other day we did one that was $800,000. So there's a pretty big size within small business that we can accommodate.
Now, with all the delinquencies and invoicing and things like that, now how do you guys measure, you know, like creditworthiness and things of that nature on those?
That's a great question. Small businesses do not really do a great job of credit review. We do that as part of our service, and we do the collection piece. So before you get into business with somebody who's not going to pay you or pay you extremely slowly, which could cause enormous problems to your infrastructure, Liquid Capital will do the credit review up front. We'll let you know, hey, these guys are paying real slow. Do you want to do this or not? Or we'd recommend stay away from these guys, or we'll let them know these guys are fine to do business with. So you'll know going in, it's not a big mystery, you know, whether you're going to get paid or not.
Now, is it something where they hire you on a retainer basis so that every client or prospect goes through you to do the screening?
With our company, we will go our contracts go invoice by invoice. So you don't need to give us, if you have a certain client that's paying you slow and other ones paying you really well, you don't need to go through us for the ones who are paying really well. We'll help you with the ones that are paying slow.
And then do you just take a percentage of whatever the invoice is? Is that how it works?
Correct. Kind of like a credit card that takes a couple of percent or whatever, maybe 2 to 4%, somewhere in there. We'll take that depending on the creditworthiness of the debtor.
Mm-hmm. And then would it be for one big invoice, or is this you work better when it's a recurring invoice?
Most of our clients are recurring, where I'll get invoices every week. We'll set up a day, and we'll do that. We'll clean up the invoices for the week. But we've also taken on situations where it's a one-shot deal, or that's called spot factoring.
And is there a minimum amount when you do a one-shot deal?
Yeah, more than likely we want to make it about $10,000 or higher.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because you're going to have the same amount of work for a $500 invoice as a
$10,000. Probably more.
Exactly.
Well, there's a lot more risk in a one-shot deal because if that goes bad, you have nothing else to rely
right.
upon to recover.
Well, it sounds like you do a lot more than just funding capital. What other services? It sounds like you got a whole slew there.
Well, along with the funding, we'll also do the credit review, which we talked about, but the collections work. Just this week, we're signing up a company which they're starting out. They don't have creditworthiness, but we're getting them the we're getting them the working capital, but we're also doing their collection for them. They don't have the ability to collect on 50 to 60 different accounts. We do that work for them.
Oh, so it's like a turnkey solution for them then?
Exactly. Yeah, it solves a couple of different issues that they have.
So this, I would imagine, would solve the problem of they wouldn't have to hire somebody. This would replace a person, at least,
exactly.
Right?
In effect, we are their admin. We also provide some online software with note screens so they can see if we're making a call on their behalf and saying, where's the money, they can follow along on a note screen. And they can see that what the response was from that company. Well, for example, they might say, we're committed to paying at such and such a date. Well, that takes the pressure off. Or if they're dodging our calls, that puts the pressure on. And they can help us with that.
Well, great. It sounds like, any small business or who can, what kind of companies do you typically help
right.
on
Are
this?
You good in certain industries or?
Correct. We specialize in certain industries, any service industry such as staffing. If you think about it, they're paying out their weekly payroll weekly, and yet they're getting paid monthly. So the faster they grow, the less working capital they're going to have. Manufacturing, if they complete their product, they've got their bills to pay, but if they're not getting paid for 30 or 60 days, we can help them there. Wholesale distributors. I've got a T-shirt guy who is selling lots of T-shirts and is waiting 30 or 40 days to get paid. He can't buy more inventory. And then truckers. Truckers are out there. They're spending money on gas, and they're not getting their money back for another 30 days. So those are kind of the industries that we specialize in.
Now, how'd you get into this whole thing?
I worked over 20 years in corporate finance on the large side, and my specialty was accounts receivable. When it was my turn to graduate from large corporate finance, I wanted to do something that would help small businesses, and the opportunity for Liquid Capital was presented to me where I'm working in my specialty, which is accounts receivable, it's finance, and I'm able to watch and help companies grow. So it's a win-win in my perspective.
Now, as a small business owner now, how do you, which is probably a big shift for you, right? You were more in the corporate-y world, and now you're in the eat what you kill world. How has that transition been?
Well, I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years. The beginning was a little rocky because all I knew was large businesses. But through networking and networking groups, Chamber of Commerce, BNI, all the Power Core, all the different networking functions, I was able to transition my career from large business world to small business world.
So what do you think? What do you like better?
Clearly it's small business. Between the work-play life balance, I'm able to manage it much better. I don't think I work any less hours, but on the other hand, I'm able to manage, which hours they are that
right.
I work.
Now, do you have any suggestions for people? There's a lot of people that are laid off and they're out there and they're exploring different avenues. Can you share something, maybe what you learned when you were going through a situation where you were transitioning from big corporate America to the entrepreneurial lifestyle?
Yeah, what I did was I wanted to go via the franchise route. When I graduated, I knew that I wanted a franchise. Franchises tend to succeed a lot more frequently than if you're just going on your own. They gave me a system to follow, and so I would recommend, you know, find yourself a franchise broker. It's easy enough to do online, and they can walk you through with a personality test in terms of what you would match up with, what you'd be good at, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what to stay away from. But I really liked having a system behind me because I was a corporate guy, and I was always given a system, so this really helped me transition.
Well, that's fantastic. We appreciate all the information. Is there any last words that you can provide to the small business owner out there?
Well, there is help out there. You don't necessarily have to wait for, you know, to collect your receivables. You don't have to wait to get traditional bank financing. And I'd also suggest perhaps stay away from that equity partner. They can suck up your financial results when you go to sell the company. They're going to take 50% of your company, and they're going to tell you how to run your dream. So there are options out there as opposed to equity partners.
Well, with small business being the engine to our economy, I'm sure you can help them. So can you tell us how they might be able to reach you? And
yeah, I'm either my phone, which is 678-393-8702, or my email address, ldornberg, L-D-O-E-R-N-B-E-R-G, at liquidcapitalcorp.com. I'm helping, you know, or I'm speaking and advising, you know, several companies a week.
Well, fantastically, thank you so much for joining us today. We had three really good guests today. We really appreciate you guys coming on. Again, I'm Chad Rothschild. You can find me at chadrothschild.com. That's my blog. It's 100% valued information. And really look forward to being with you again, Lee. But I really had a good time. And if they didn't hear this live, they can definitely go to the podcast at AtlantaBusinessRadio.com.
That's right. And, Chad, don't you have an event?
Yes, we have Atlanta Bloggers Community. I head that community up. It's at Gordon Biersch tonight at 6:30. We've got Sean Nelson talking about how to use your LinkedIn to increase your blog traffic. So we're really excited about that, and it's the first Wednesday of every month.
And yeah, why don't you talk a little bit about how that group's going, because you're the president of that, right?
Yeah, I head that group up, and I've been heading up for about 2 months now. We've actually, we almost had 100 people RSVP this month up from their normal of 25 to...
It's your leadership.
It's exactly. But you know what? We use social media 100% to spread the word. And you know, as Greg was talking about, social media is where it's at today, and it's free, and it's a great way to promote your brands and see what people are talking about.
So you're enjoying that group?
I love it. I'm so passionate about blogging and, as he was talking about, engaging content. And we're seeing so many people wanting to get into this space. So it's not only for people who are learning, but it's also for the experienced people, and it's just a community of people that are all passionate about blogging.
Cool. All right.
So hopefully you'll come sometime, Lee.
You know, I am passionate.
I know you are. I need you there, man. It's your support.
All right. I will be there. And this is Lee Cantor for Chad Rothschild and for the vacationing Amy Otto for Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you next Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Bye.